just like in the last section, we're going to explore a couple different ways of looking at hypothesis tests, but this time for the spread of the data. Now, this comes in handy when we're comparing improvements or changes that are going to narrow the variability of whatever we're evaluating or testing. One of the roles of control charts, we talked about in a previous lesson, is the range chart, or more commonly the S chart, the standard deviation chart. And we're going to be running experiments, and one way to measure that is look for significant changes in the control chart, that our range value shows that it's showing less variability. And it's not quite as sensitive to changes as a deliberate hypothesis test, but it's very, very similar in the underpinnings of the math that's involved. But if you're going to run a test specifically to check to see if the variance has changed, as usually we want it smaller, then a hypothesis test for variance is probably the way you need to go. And so it's, as I mentioned, it's the very same basic structure. It's just that we're not going to be using the Z table or the T table. We're going to use a chi-squared. And chi-squared test is used, the chi-squared distribution is used because it describes the variability of variances. So if I take a sequence of samples from a population, I will get slightly different variance calculations, or the standard deviation squared values, even though they're all coming from the same distribution. Now, if I do that a number of times, I can plot, like on a histogram, what the variance histogram looks like, the variation of the variation terms, of the variance terms. And that tends to follow a chi-squared distribution. It starts at zero and has a peak where near where the normal, where the actual value is for the distribution, and a tail. There's probabilities of all along the way of getting some other value. And so one of the ways we do this is compare the sample variance to a known population variance. And we'll take a look at running that particular test, and it does use the chi-squared distribution. I believe there's also a way to do comparisons, and I think we're going to talk about it, is using the F distribution. But then there's also a completely different style of test that uses the chi-squared distribution, and that's comparing the observed versus the expected frequencies. And it's when I don't know what the population variance is I don't have that predefined. So it's analogous to like a t-test where I don't know what the population variance is or standard deviation is. So this allows us to compare the spread of the data in the case where I know the population variance, I'm comparing it to a fixed number, or I'm using the data itself to help us understand the variation. All right, so let's say I know the variance, and we also know that the chi-squared distribution is not symmetrical. So we have to be a little bit careful about which value we're pulling out of the chi-squared tables, the lower tail or upper tail, or in a two-sided test, both tails. So we're going to have to pay a little bit attention to the signs and nomenclature here as we go through. So basic structure, same exact process, understand what you're trying to measure, set up a null hypothesis and your alternate hypothesis. And we can test for that the variance is different, or is it less than, or is it greater than? We can do all three of those types of tests. But once again, we need to know what the number of samples are, the variance of our sample, and the variance of our population. So in this particular case, we've got a process, and we want it to be 4 sigma value should be at 60, and that should occur 95% of the time. So we have 16 samples, and we've calculated a standard deviation for those of 12. So does the new system meet the requirements? Now, there's a couple of steps we need to do here, but first of it is that the fixed value that we're looking for is 1/4 of 60. So we only want to compare standard deviation to standard deviation in this case. So it's 15, there's no change, so we want to call that our null hypothesis. And in the samples that we gathered, we have a standard deviation of 12. So is that close enough to the standard deviation of 15 that we desire? And in this case, is the 12 what we're interested in? Did it actually make it smaller or not? Make it the variance too small? Although I'm not sure why we'd care about that. Let me get up the rest of my notes here. And so the degrees of freedom is n minus 1 as we go into the chi-squared table. And I get a 7. Get my pen from the chi-squared table. Degrees of freedom equals n minus 1. And so that I'm given... How many samples do I have? I am not seeing it in the write-up here, so... I didn't put that in my notes, but my chi-squared critical value is 7.261. So I'd have to look up that real quick to find out how many samples are supposed to be in this exercise. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. I got 16 samples. So the degrees of freedom is 15. Just looking right at it, not seeing it. But for the test statistic, I've got all three of these values. And I can calculate this out, and I get a test statistic of 9.6. And that is larger than this value. So in this case, I want a value that's smaller than my test statistic. And so here we conclude that we don't have enough evidence that the new process meets the requirements with a 95% process. So in other words, this value is saying that my change going to 12 standard deviation versus 15 is too big. It's too small. And I have a value that's falling outside of my critical value range. So hopefully that makes sense. It's pretty straightforward, nearly identical structure as the t-test or z-test. So the observed versus expected. And this one's easier to just explain with an example. But let's say I've got 30 boards, and I'm interested in if the training for all three of my inspectors has been consistent such that each of them makes the same judgment whether a board will pass or fail due to the presence of defects. And we're going to ask the three different inspectors to test 30 boards each. And so we have our three inspectors, conveniently named 1, 2, and 3. And each one of them makes a judgment about the number of boards that have defects. And they're slightly different. But is it different enough to say that they're not consistent? And so this is a pretty interesting way to set up a test, but it allows me to look at more than two elements for a comparison or to look at different treatments of a process. And so I have my three inspectors, and then I have whether they identified an individual board as a defect or not. And so altogether, I've got 90 observations, and that should tally across here and this way. All right, we'll come back to this table in a moment. But first, like anything else, is we have to set up the null hypothesis. So we're going to try to show that the three inspectors are not consistent, which is our alternate hypothesis, just saying that they're not equal. It doesn't necessarily tell us which one is the most different, although by inspection you can observe that. It just is testing if all three of them are close enough to each other. is really what we're looking for. Are they equal in the proportions that they find effective? So we need to figure out a critical value to go into the chi-squared test. And in this style of test, it's the number of rows minus one and the number of columns minus one. So I have two rows and three columns. So that's one times two. So my degrees of freedom is going to equal two in this case. And from the table, I get 5.99. That means that there's only a 5% chance that the test statistic will exceed 5.99. And this is based on chi-squared distribution. And that's this 0.05 or 5% value is out there in that tail. So now I need to find out if my test statistic falls underneath that 5.99, which would mean that we would accept the null hypothesis, or basically not reject the alternate. Or if it falls outside of that 5.99, it's larger than that, then we'd say, yeah, there's some difference here. They are not consistent. So let's calculate the expected values. And so in this regard, is we need to go into the same basic table, but we're using the total treatments. Remember, the 74 and 16 were there in the set of 30s. But what we're looking at is that we've got the row total, 74, times the column total, 30, and divide that by the grand total, 90. And in this particular case, it equals 24.67. And I do that for each of the cells. Now, because I have the same number of boards inspected by each inspector, it's equal across the realm. We're going to get three sets of the same numbers for the, because 74 and 16 are the only two numbers really changing. So we calculate out what the expected values are. All right, now we have the observed, and the, if you remember, it was, I think, 3, 6, and 8, or 3, 5, and 8, if I remember, on the number ID is defective. And so what we're going to take is the observed values and subtract out the expected values, square that, and divide by expected. And then we tally that up. So in the one case, I had 27 minus 27, 24.67. Square divided by 24.67, and I sum those up. I have those six different cells there. And when I sum that up, I get 2.89. Now, this is less than the critical value of 5.99. So I'm not able to I don't have convincing evidence that the inspectors have a difference. Even though in our data, at first look, go back to the table with the data. One of them found 10% bad, and the other one found closer to 30% bad, 25-30% bad. But because of the limited amount of samples we have, and we're looking at the underlying variability of the data, is not enough evidence to show that there is a significant difference in the results between the different inspectors. So that's observed versus expected. And it's a handy test to have in your back pocket for all kinds of different things. But it doesn't isolate which one is significantly different than the others. It's just testing, are they equal or are they not? And so you got to be careful about how you interpret it. Okay, next we'll take a look at some of the other, not so exotic, but just different ways of doing hypothesis testing. And couple different things to consider as you put together which test you actually want to run.